so much to deal with in this chapter. And if I read a long time, I cut into my time, huh? So let's establish the premise in verse number 1 and 2, and then we'll get to preaching on it. And it came to pass at that time that Judah went down. Everybody say, Judah went down. Yeah. Down from brethren, turned into a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. Saw there the daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. He took her and went in unto her. She conceived and bare a son. He called his name Ur. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing to these thy people. And Lord, once and for all, help us to die, die to self, so that Christ might live through us. We love you and we thank you for sending your son to die for us, that we might live. Now help us to die for you, that you might live through us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. We're dealing with the subject, Judah, the disappointment. In contrast to Joseph the dreamer, two fellas raised in the same house, raised by the same daddy, undoubtedly taught the same principles, and yet one is a dreamer and one's a disappointment. Two people can leave the same service tonight. And one can do right and one can do wrong. And neither of them has an excuse. If you do right, it's because you choose to. If you do wrong, it's because you choose to. So Judah is a disappointment. His decisions are highlighted in Scripture because Jesus is going to come as a lion of the tribe of Judah. So what he does matters. God is going to show us some things in Scripture about Judah. We are watching Joseph in the center of God's will. Perfect place. Yet we're watching Judah in his own will. A permissive place. And I say to you tonight, you're one of the other places. You're in the perfect will of God and the permissive will of God. And God sometimes will let you do either. Just because God lets you do something doesn't mean he wants you to. So here's Judah, the disappointment. We finally make selfish decisions. We all said a few moments ago together, he went down, he went down. Anytime you go away from where God has placed you, go away from the authority under which God has placed you, you go away from the things that God wants you to be around, you go down. I can't tell you how many Christians I have watched go down. And I've watched how many things in their life went down after their first step down. This is Judah. He went from his brethren. This is not in my notes. I didn't plan to say it. But one of the worst things you'll ever do as a child of God is abandon the brethren. To get away from where God has you. Today, what is God's formula of the brethren? It's the body of Christ. It's the local church. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. Listen to me now. You start getting away from the body of Christ, the local church, the brethren, the saints of God, the preaching and teaching of the word of God. Just wait, just wait. It won't be long before everything in your life starts going down. Thank God that there are still Christian schools and pastors and principals and parents who will send their kids on a trip away from home and tell them, you may be away from home, but you're not going to be away from God. On Wednesday night, we ain't going to be at the amusement park or the bowling alley or the shopping mall. We're going to church. We're trying to insulate you from the dangers of the devil. And so these selfish decisions. And because he gets there, I need to move quickly. He meets Hira, and he meets somebody that's no good for him. Verse number 2. And then he ends up meeting Shua. These are two guys. And now Shua has a daughter. And he ends up marrying Shua's daughter. And now these decisions are getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And now he comes together with a woman he shouldn't marry. He's married a Canaanitish woman. That's off limits for God. Listen to me. It's going down and down and down and down. And now he's got children. One child, Ur and Onan and Shelah. And now he started off as one fella moving away from the brethren. Now he's got two friends and the wrong wife. And now three kids. How long does it take for everything to be out of control? This one you see. So swift developments which lead his father, if you would. Now Judah is now a father, and now he's trying to control the destiny of his children while not even being able to control himself. Isn't it amazing how we try to control what our kids do without controlling what we do ourselves? And so he's got some sons. Notice what the scripture says. Shelah. And then Ur and Onan. And Ur is the firstborn, of course, and so he picks a wife for her. Her name is Tamar. And yet Ur has a good wife, but he's a sorry man. You say, I don't see that in the Bible. I'm preaching this message. Verse number 7. The Bible says he was wicked in the sight of the Lord. That's parentheses for a sorry man. You don't pick a good man by how many muscles he has, how much weight he lifts. He's a good man because he walks with God. And so he does evil in the sight of the Lord, and God killed him. And so now Judah is trying to manage the situation. He's got friends he shouldn't have. He's got a wife he shouldn't have married. He's got kids that are a result of a bad marriage. And now he's got a daughter-in-law and a dead son. So the first thing he thinks is, well, if Ur is dead, a good custom is that his brother would raise up the seed, Onan. So Onan, you should raise up the seed of your brother. And we know the story last week. Onan didn't want it. He wanted what was better for him. And so he decides to spill his seed. He doesn't raise up the seed of his brother. And now all of a sudden we got a big problem, because now that Onan does something that displeases God, now God kills Onan. Is anybody listening? A man away from the brethren, two friends he shouldn't meet, a wife he shouldn't marry, three kids. Now he's got a daughter-in-law for his first son. The son lives bad. The son's dead. He's got a daughter-in-law that needs another husband to raise up the seed. This next son doesn't do it. He disobeys God. Now he's dead. Now he's got a third son, and he looks at the girl and says, "You got to be bad luck." In so many words, he says, "Listen to me, Tamar. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to remain a widow." Verse 11, "Till Shelah, my son, be grown." He's kicking the can down the road. He doesn't really plan to give her Shelah. "For he said, lest peradventure he die also." I'm not about to give you my third son. My first two sons hooked up with you and they died. I ain't about to hook the third one up with you. And so he's still trying to control it. After this scary dilemma now, we see the sovereign displeasure of God. God's upset now. He's placing specific demands on her. His forceful suggestion is, remain a widow at your father's house. His fearful sentiments is that my other son will die. And her following submission is, I will. The Bible says she dwelt in her father's house. Watch this now. If I'm Judah, or everything looks clear now. Isn't that the illusion of sin? If I could just put all my ducks in a row, if I can just line up all my dominoes in a straight path, if I can just make sure everybody is in his place at the right time and in the right spot, the coast will be clear. The problem is you think you're in control when you're in sin, but you're never in control when you're in sin. Never. Brings me to my next point, which is subsequent details. Look, if you would, at the next verse. Time passes. Verse 12, in the process of time. Listen to me now. If you think sin has calmed down and you're out of the woods, just wait. The process of time is coming. And in the process of time, watch what the Bible says. All of a sudden, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. Is anybody listening? He hooked up with two wrong friends. He marries the wrong wife. He has three kids. He picks a daughter-in-law. His son lives bad and dies. The next son disobeys, picking up where his brother left off, and he dies. The third son is too young. The daughter-in-law is told to remain a widow. And now, what makes matters worse is his wife dies. Then he says he's comforted. Comforted. The painful circumstance of death. Don't you wish life was void of painful circumstances? Don't you wish that time went on and nothing bad happened? Don't you wish that everything was smooth sailing and yet a painful circumstance occurs? And yet, in spite of the painful circumstance, the Bible says he was comforted. The proceeding comfort, notice the Bible says, folks got around him and comforted this man. He lost his wife, but yet comfort still came. But I want you to notice what happens after that. He went up to the sheep shears into Timnath. He and his friend, what? Hiram, the Adullamite. Painful circumstance. Proceeding, comfort. But write this down in your notes. There is a problematic continuation. Look here, please. Bad friend, wrong wife. Three boys, chosen daughter-in-law, dead son, disobedient son, another dead son, pushed the daughter-in-law aside, dead wife, comfort. But after all of that, you still hanging with that bad friend? The Bible says he's still running with Hiram. Listen, Hiram's what got you in this in the first place. Now, listen, please. How much bad has to happen before you break off with the wrong people? Listen. You left the house a son. You not long left the house as a son, and now you're a friend with a bad friend. Now you're the husband of a wrong wife. Now you're the father of children who are not being raised right because you're out of the will of God. Now you're the parent whose child has died. Now you're a parent whose next child has died. Now you're the dad with a daughter-in-law who really shouldn't even be your daughter-in-law because the son she was married to ain't alive anymore. And now you're a widower. And you're still running with the friend who got you messed up in the first place. You see, it's so easy to get in, but it's so hard to get out. Is anybody listening? It's so easy to say yes to sin, but it's so hard to say no to sin. It is so easy to create a habit, but it's so hard to break a habit. It is so easy to join in a wrong relationship, but it is so hard to break off a wrong relationship. I'm saying to you, when the snowball gets bigger and the descent gets faster, it is harder and harder to get out of it. Somebody is so far, so deep, so way down the road of sin. I know it's hard. I know the devil doesn't make it convenient, but I'm here to tell you on a Wednesday night on a school trip, no matter how hard it is, get out of there. Get out of there. Could it be that God has taken you away from home to the nation's capital, not so you could see monuments and find out where the government goes to work every day, but maybe God got you away far from home on a 10th, 11th, or 12th grade trip to get you away from an influence that is pulling you away from God. And maybe on your trip from home, God wants you to make a decision to break off a wrong relationship. It's not just for young people, it's for grown people too. You ought not be around anybody that's pulling you away from God, pulling you away from church, distracting you from reading God's word, causing you to be comfortable in carnality. Listen to me. It amazes me as I get to the end of this verse. He's still hanging with his friend Hira, the Adullamite. That's the same person he met in verse number 1 when he went down. And now, 11 verses later, two sons have died. His wife has died. His daughter-in-law's been sent away. He should at least know by now, Hira is bad news. doesn't listen. So in verse 13, it was told Tamar. Write down point number 8, scheming deception. Selfish decision, swift developments, sustained determination, scary dilemma, sovereign displeasure, specific demands, subsequent details, and scheming deception. It was told Tamar, saying, behold, thy father-in-law goeth up to Timnath to shear his sheep. This is how I write this down, as informed delivery. It was told Tamar. Oh, watch this now. In Judah's mind, Tamar is not a problem. I have sent her to her father's house. I've handled the problem. I've sent her away. She shouldn't be a problem. Listen to me now. Sweeping things under the rug doesn't mean they're gone. Do you think because you ordered Tamar to go far, far away that somehow some little bird can't fly to where she is and tell her what's going on with you? Somebody, the Bible doesn't tell us, because that somebody can be just anybody. It was told her, guess what? Your father-in-law is going up to Timnath. Somebody's keeping her updated. And by the way, it says to me, if they thought she needed to know what her father-in-law was doing, it was very clear with them that she was still bitter about how he treated her. Bitterness has no zip code. Bitterness has no distance that you can't reach. Oh, yes. No problem, Judah. I'll go up and stay with my parents. No big deal. She said yes, but in her heart, she was angry. I'm going to get him back. Don't underestimate the power of bitterness. Oh, I'm at a new church. I'm at another place. I've moved to a different job. We've relocated to a different city. That person I'm bitter with, it really doesn't matter. I'm far, far away. It doesn't matter how far you are away. If bitterness is in your heart, it will drive you to do the wrong thing. You can, listen to me, you can be bitter with someone that's dead and it'll still mess up your life right now. Now, what is it that has happened to you that you haven't gotten over, that as soon as you get a green light from somebody to get back at the person that hurt you, you're going to drive through it? Your father-in-law is at Timnath. Verse 14. She put on her widow's garment off from her. Did anybody hear that? Now, why was she wearing a widow's garment? I mean, this is not deep. Why was she wearing a widow's garment? Because she was a widow. I know some of you are thinking, oh no, he's putting me on the spot. It ain't that deep. But look what the Bible said. She put her widow's garment off from her, covered her face with a veil, and wrapped herself. Now, the veil is what a maiden wears. A veil is what an available candidate wears. She takes her widow's garment off. Listen to me. Bitterness, watch this now. Bitterness will drive you to be somebody that you're not. I'm not a widow, but if it means, I am a widow, but if it means looking like a maiden to get back at Judah, I will. I can't tell you how many people I have watched act out of character over bitterness. Quiet people, loud. They don't even look right. Nice people walk around with an attitude. You don't even seem right. Listen, you see somebody acting out of character so often, I'm telling you, they're doing it on purpose because they're being driven by a motor that is bitter, and bitterness is a motor that will never get revved down. Are you listening to me now? You've got to deal with that bitterness. It'll have you putting off the right clothes and putting on the wrong clothes. Here she says, I'll take off these widow garments. I'll put me a veil on. I'll cover my face. I'll wrap myself. I'll sit in an open place, which is, by the way, in Timnath, for she saw that Sheila was grown, and she was not given to him to be to wife. Now watch this now. That shows us that she was still bitter. Are you listening to me now? She's mad with Judah. You lied to me. You lied to me. You sent me up to my father's house waiting for Sheila to be grown. He's grown now. You lied to me, and I'm going to get you back. Wow. In intentional disguise that is driven by an ill drive. That's why you have to give the wrongs that people have done to you to God. Because if you keep them, you'll be forced to do something about it. Is anybody listening? If you keep them, you'll be forced to do something. Listen, somebody in the building is in the middle of making a decision that's out of the will of God. I don't know who it is, but you're in the middle of making a decision that's out in the will of God, and you're making it because you're still mad with somebody that didn't do you right, and now you're going to let that thing that you should have given to God drive you to make a decision that will take you further from God. I'm trying to move on. But I'm going to tell you something. I got to get on this bitterness. Stay on it a little while. You know how bitter she was? You know how bad bitterness was? It made a widow so angry that she's willing to not look like a widow, which she is, and in turn look like a harlot, which she's not. You know how many young people I've watched grow up in church and walk away from God? And do the best they can to look like they're not a Christian. They can't. They cuss and it don't even sound right. I don't want you to know. Nobody should be cussing. But every once in a while you hear a Christian just trying to talk so worldly, can't even put a subject and a verb in the flesh together. Blasted all over the internet trying to tell everybody just how much I love the devil. And you can just see little crumbs of Jesus all over their mouth. Bitterness. Here's this woman who's still grieving over the loss of a husband, but she's out in the street like a harlot. God help us. And then what about Judah? He ain't right either. Well, isn't the Bible good? The Bible, it's almost like Genesis is telling us that there are a lot of roles that you can play in sin. And unless we get pharisaical and go picking which ones we're going to condemn, listen to me. Judah is just as wrong as Tamar is. She may look wronger. That ain't a word, but I'm using it. She may look wronger because she's out there looking like a harlot. He may not look as wrong because he's out there looking like a sophisticated man. But the truth of the matter is, he's out of the will of God and she's out of the will of God. The drug addict up the street who never comes to church is out of the will of God. But a Christian in here three times a week living in bitterness or jealousy or hypocrisy is just as much out of the will of God. So you can be Judah or you can be Tamar. You're not fooling Jesus. And watch what sin is doing. The informed delivery, the intentional disguise, the ill drive. Now watch this. Watch the impeded discernment. When he saw her, he thought of being harlot. Because she had her face covered. 15. Watch this now. Now you and I know from reading the scripture, she's not a harlot. She's a widow. And she's not just a widow. She's daughter-in-law. But he can't tell that she's his daughter-in-law because she's disguised. But it's worse than that. It's not just bad that he couldn't tell that she was his daughter-in-law, but it was also bad that he didn't have enough discernment to know that even if she wasn't his daughter-in-law and she was a harlot, he still didn't have any business fooling with her. Now we look at the story and go, no, 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 stay away from her. That's your daughter-in-law. And God looks at this story and says, no, no, wait, stay away from her, even if she's not your daughter-in-law. We got to quit trying to make the story have a happy ending and start trying to please God.
And I would never date her. She used to date my best friend.
I don't care if she never dated anybody. She don't walk with God. She's an ex. Huh? We got all these worldly rules for why we don't do anything. And that's why eventually we start doing it, because the world's rules change. We got to have Bible rules for why we don't do something. I wouldn't do that. That's nasty. Well, there'll come a day when enough people do it, it won't be nasty anymore. But if you don't do it because it dishonors God and it violates the word of God, then the grass will wither, the flower will fade. But the word of God shall endure forever. We've got to learn how to do right, not because it's politically correct or it's convenient or it's socially acceptable. We got to do right because it's right. God help us. And so now he's got an inappropriate desire. He thinks it's okay to be out there chasing a harlot. God help us. Listen to me, sir. You get away from the wrong people. Get away from the right people. And you get hooked up with the wrong people, you will be excusing your desires for things that are inappropriate. Somebody say amen. Now this inappropriate desire is going to lead to an insistent deal. He turned into her. Go, I pray thee, let me come into thee. Verse 16, you follow on almost time. For he knew that not that she was his daughter-in-law. Yeah, but he knew she was a harlot. I'm sorry. I wasn't thinking. I shouldn't have done that. If I knew you, what's the name's child, I'd have never asked you to come to this thing. Well, you shouldn't have not invited them because of who their daddy was. You shouldn't be going because of who God is. Watch now this insistent deal. What wilt thou give me? I mean, this is prostitution. That's the same boy that grew up with the other boy that's going to look at Potiphar's wife and say, you can keep my coat, but I'm out of here, woman. God forbid I do this thing and sin against God. And this same fella come from the same training. And they, listen to me, they are negotiating a deal. How much can I pay you to sin? What wilt thou give me that thou mayest come in? This is what she's saying. What will you offer me? Here's what he's saying. I'll send thee a kid from the flock. Pledge it. Make a promise. Wilt thou send it? Give me a pledge until you send it. And he said, what pledge? They're working a deal. What in the world? What in the world? What in the world is a child of God sitting down with who he thinks is a harlot working a deal? Listen to me, sin will have you at the negotiation table with a bunch of cheaters and liars. Well, will you give me a pledge? And he said, what pledge? What in the world? Thy signet, thy bracelets, thy staff. And he gave it to her. This is a deal. They're striking a deal. And the deal always leads to the deed. He gave it to her, came into her, and she conceived. The devil always strikes a deal to get you to do the deed. Come on. He knows you need some bribery. Take this bad job, I'll pay you more. Take this person out of the will of God, you'll have more fun. You won't be judged as much. Come on. Skip tithing. What you buy from skipping will help you be a better church member. He always strikes a deal to get you to do the deed. This is where he is. Leave me a pledge. And then an inevitable departure. They go away. That's the danger. You look so connected. When you're with the devil, it looks like that. Listen, when you're in sin and you're living outside of the will of God, it seems like all of the players in the game are loyal. They're your best friend. I mean, that was my boy. That was my God. They just seemed so sincere. We were like this. I trusted them. The problem is you're going to have to depart. plans change. The intended duty, watch this. She went her way, laid her veil, and put on her garments of widowhood. Yeah, you done got God. You fool. Judah's a smart guy. He looks like a fool right here. Sin will make smart people look dumb. All of us. We think we're geniuses. We think we can go down into the thorns of sin and come out without getting any prickles. You go walking out of there, coming out of them prickle bushes in sin, thinking you're fine. I did just fine. Till you get home and put your pajamas on, you got scratches all on your leg. She puts down that veil and puts back her widow clothes on. Notice the next verse, we're closing. Judah sent a kid by the hand of his friend. And still got that friend. Lord, have mercy. I didn't plan to say this. I'm closing somewhat. Listen, he's dropped his parents. He's dropped his brethren. He's dropped his training, but he's hanging on to that friend. That's right. Them bad friends have you dropping everything good. Come on, Pastor. That's right. I don't speak to my parents. I don't speak to my brother. I don't speak to other Christians. I'm not doing this because they done me wrong. They done me wrong. Well, who you been spending time with? Me and Hira like this. Yeah, Hira's hooking you up with more nonsense you ever thought you had. And he's sending the kid back. He's keeping his deal. He's in sin, but he's honorable.
Pastor, I do a lot of wrong things, but the one thing I do, I make sure I pay people what I tell them.
There's no honor among sin. He sends the kid back. Problem is, she's gone. She wasn't a harlot. She was setting you up. And there's an insulting discovery. He found her not. Where is the harlot? Verse 21. She was openly by the wayside. Verse 21. There was no harlot in this place. 22. I cannot find her. Here come his friend.
Hey, man, I don't know where she was. I went back to the same place. Not there no more. People didn't say they haven't seen her in 3 years.
Judah said, let her take it to her, lest we be shamed. The intimidating distress. Because, behold, I sent this kid, and thou hast not found her. In other words, give up. Don't even worry about it. Because if we hang around here long enough, they're going to find out who I am. I'm finished. Listen, sin had you so desperate. You'd be spending more money, and people say, "Man, go back up there and get your money back." No, no, no. I told you about that guy I saw on 7-Eleven one time. I was up there getting my coffee and getting my taquitos for my kids, and I was up there on a Sunday morning, and I saw one of them former church members. Used to be a member of Crossroads Baptist Church, and went away, and then figured Sunday morning I'm going to 7-Eleven. Nobody's gonna see me, and I was just in there getting my coffee, and I said, "Hey, what's the name?" He said, "Hey, how you been?" I said, "How you been?" And I went on down there to get my Colombian coffee, and I'm pumping in my French vanilla. I don't, you know, I like to be real healthy. I get to get equal. I put equal in there, right? Amen. But I put a lot of French vanilla, right? And so I'm getting my coffee and filling it all up and stirring it up, putting my top on, and I go back up to pay, and I get to the cashier, and the 7-Eleven person said, "What happened to your friend?" I said, "What?" He said, "What happened to your friend?" I said, "Oh, he bought a lottery ticket, but never took it with him." That's what sin will have you doing. Listen. Here goes Judah. "Man, I brought this kid back, and I brought all of this. Hey, man, we ought to keep looking for it." "No, no, man, take my losses. I would rather lose money than let the preacher man know I'm playing the lottery." You get in sin long enough, you'll be spending money, and you'll have a right to go get a credit back, and you'll be so scared, and who gonna see you in that credit line? You'll take your losses. That's why Judah's a disappointment. He's going down. Maybe you're going down tonight. Get out. Get out. Get out of there. Get out of there. Well, I'm too far in. Yeah, but far's not as bad as farther. Get out. And God will help you, won't he? Father, help us. I pray that you help us, encourage us. We don't want to be blinded. We've all been there. Blinded. Help us to stay teachable and pliable. Help us to be wise. In Jesus' name, amen.